Hello and welcome to Leftist Reading. This is a podcast where I'm a leftist and I read things. We're continuing with the last chapter of the Curriculum of Marxism and Leninism, which is a textbook going through the foundational principles of Marxism and Leninism. So let's hop right in. C. The relationship between praxis and consciousness. Praxis serves as the basis, driving force, and purpose of consciousness. Praxis serves as the criterion of truth by testing the truthfulness of our thoughts. See annotation 230. Praxis is able to serve these roles because reality is the direct starting point of consciousness. It sets out the requirements, tasks, and modes of consciousness, as well as the movement and development tendencies of consciousness. Humans have an objective and inherent need to explain the world and to transform it. Annotation 221. Remember that the material world defines consciousness, while consciousness allows us to impact the material world through conscious activity. See the relationship between matter and consciousness. Consciousness itself arose from the physical needs of the material world. See the source of consciousness. And these physical needs continue to serve as the basis and driving force for all conscious activities, as we must act consciously to survive. Our inherent need to explain the world and to transform it arises from our material needs to eat, seek shelter, cure and prevent disease, and so on. These physical needs, which stem from the material world, drive conscious activity and lead to the development of consciousness and knowledge. Therefore, humans must necessarily impact things in the material world through our practical activities in order to survive. The impacts of our practical activities on the world cause things and phenomena to reveal their different properties, including their internal and external relationships. For example, hitting a rock will tell you properties about the rock. Attempting to build something out of wood will provide data about the wood, etc. In this manner, praxis produces data for consciousness to process and also helps consciousness to comprehend nature and the laws of movement and development which govern the world. Scientific theories are formed on the basis of the dialectical relationship between practical activity and consciousness. For example, mathematics developed to allow us to count and measure things for practical activities such as agriculture, navigation, and building structures. Marxism also arose in the 1840s from the practical activities of the struggles of the working class against the capitalist class at that time. Even recent scientific achievements arise from practical needs and activities. For example, the discovery and decoding of the human genome map was born from practical activities and needs, such as the need to develop treatments for incurable diseases. In the end, there is no field of knowledge that is not derived from reality. Ultimately, all knowledge arises from and serves practice. Therefore, if we were to break from reality or stop relying on reality, consciousness would break from the basis of reality that nurtures our growth, existence, and development. Also, the cognitive subject cannot have true and profound knowledge about the world if it does not follow reality. Practice also serves as the basis, driving force, and purpose of consciousness because, thanks to practical activities, our human ability to measure and observe reality improves increasingly over time. Our logical thinking ability is constantly strengthened and developed. Cognitive means become increasingly developed. All of these developments extend the human senses in perceiving the world. For example, by developing new tools to measure, perceive, and sense the world, such as telescopes, radar, microscopes, etc. Reality is not only the basis, the driving force, and the purpose of discovering truth, but also serves as the standard of truth. Reality also serves as the basis for examining the truthfulness of the cognitive process. I.e., we can test whether our thoughts match material reality through experimentation and practice in the real world. This means that practice is the measure of the value of the knowledge we gain through perception. At the same time, practice is constantly supplementing, adjusting, correcting, developing, and improving human consciousness. Marx said, quote, The question whether objective truth can be attributed to human thinking is not a question of theory, but is a practical question. Man must prove the truth, i.e. the reality and power, the this-sidedness of his thinking in practice. End quote. Footnote 1. Thus, practice is not only the starting point of consciousness and a decisive factor for the formation and development of consciousness, it is also a target where consciousness must always aim to test the truth. To emphasize this role which practice plays, Lenin said, quote, "The standpoint of life, of practice, should be first and fundamental in the theory of knowledge." End quote. Footnote 2. The role of practice in consciousness requires that we always grasp the practical point of view. This point of view requires that we derive our ideas from practice. Our ideas must be based on practice, and our ideas must deeply explore practice. In our conscious activities, we must attach a lot of importance to the summarization of practice, i.e. developing theoretical knowledge through theoretical consciousness, which reflects practical experience. Theoretical research must be related to practice, and learning must go hand in hand with practicing. If we diverge from practice, it will lead to mistakes of subjectivism, idealism, dogmatism, rigidity, and bureaucracy. Annotation 222. Subjectivism occurs when one centers one's own self and conscious activities in perspective and worldview, failing to test one's perceptions against material and social reality. Subjectivists tend to believe that they can independently reason their way to truth in their own minds without practical experience and activity in the material world. Related to subjectivism is solipsism, a form of idealism in which one believes that the self is the only basis for truth. As Marxist ethicist Howard Zelsam wrote in Ethics and Progress, New Values in a Revolutionary World, quote, "If I believe that I alone exist, and that you and all your arguments exist only in my mind, and are my own creations, then all possible arguments will not shake me one iota. No logic can possibly convince the solipsist." End quote. Idealism has a strong connection with a failure to incorporate practical activity into theoretical consciousness, since idealism holds that conscious activity is the sole basis of discovering truth. Dogmatism occurs when one only accounts for commonalities and considers theory itself as the sole basis of truth rather than practice. See Annotation 239. Dogmatists ignore practical experience and consider pre-established theory alone as unalterable truth. This results in a breakdown of the dialectical relationship between theoretical consciousness and empirical consciousness, which arrests the development process of knowledge and consciousness. Rigidity is an unwillingness to alter one's thoughts, holding too stiffly to established consciousness and knowledge, and ignoring practical experience and observation, which leads to stagnation of both knowledge and consciousness. Bureaucracy arises when theory becomes overly codified and formalized, to the extent that practical considerations are ignored in favor of codified theory. Bureaucracy can be avoided by incorporating practical experience and observations continuously into the development of practical systems and methodologies, so that theory and practice become increasingly aligned over time to continuously improve efficiency and effectiveness of practical activities in the material world. On the contrary, if the role of practice is absolutized to the exclusion of conscious activity, it will fall into pragmatism and empiricism. Annotation 223. In this context, pragmatism refers to a form of subjectivism, see annotation 222 above, in which one centers one's own immediate material concerns over all other considerations. For example, workers may place their own immediate needs and desires above the concerns of their fellow workers as a whole. This may offer some temporary gains, but in the long run, their lack of solidarity and class consciousness will be detrimental as workers collectively suffer from division, making all workers more vulnerable to exploitation and ill treatment by the capitalist class. Empiricism is a faulty form of materialism in which only sense experience and practical experience are considered sources of truth. This is opposed to the dialectical materialist position that the material determines consciousness, while consciousness impacts the material world through conscious labor activity. See the relationship between matter and consciousness. Thus, the principle of the unification of practice and theory must be the basic principle in practical and theoretical activities. Theory without practice as its basis and criterion for determining its truthfulness is useless. Vice versa, practice without scientific and revolutionary theory will inevitably turn into blind practice. As Ho Chi Minh once said, quote, "Study and practice must always go together. Study without practice is useless. Practice without study leads to folly." End quote. 2. Dialectical path of consciousness to truth. A. Opinions of Vladimir Ilyich Lenin about the dialectical path of consciousness to truth. Annotation 224. The section below outlines and explains the universal law of consciousness, which holds that consciousness is a process of dialectical development in which practical activity leads to conscious activity, which then leads back to practical activity in a continuous and never-ending cycle, with a tendency to develop both practical and conscious activity to increasingly higher levels. In his philosophical notebook, Lenin generalized the dialectical path towards the realization of truth as development from vivid visualization to abstract thinking, and then from abstraction back to practice. This process, according to Lenin, is the dialectical path towards the realization of truth and the realization of objective reality. According to this generalization, the dialectical path towards the realization of truth, truth here referring to a correct and accurate reflection of objective reality, is a process. It is a process that starts from vivid visualization, emotional consciousness, to abstract thinking, rational consciousness. Annotation 225. Given that consciousness has a material basis and that practical activities are the driving force of consciousness, see annotation 230, it follows that we must strive to align our conscious thoughts and ideas with the material world. The more accurately we can reflect reality in our consciousness, the more effectively and efficiently our practical activities can become. For example, through learning more about the mechanical, material, and physical processes which take place inside of an automobile engine, the more we can improve engines to make them more efficient and effective for practical applications. Lenin explained that consciousness develops from emotional consciousness to rational consciousness. Thought about a subject begins at a base level of consciousness that is rooted in emotional and sense-oriented conscious activity, i.e. vivid visualization, which then leads to rational, abstract reflection. By vivid visualization, Lenin is referring to the active, real-time experience of seeing and hearing, smelling, and otherwise sensing things and phenomena in the world. When a person experiences something through practical activity, the first conscious activity will tend to occur at the emotional and sensory level. In other words, the conscious activities which occur simultaneously along with practical activities. Only after this initial period of emotional consciousness will one be able to reflect on the experience on a more rational and abstract level. For example, if a zoologist in the field sees a species of bird they have never encountered before, their conscious activity will be at the sensory-emotional level. They will observe the shape, coloration, and motion of the bird. They may feel excitement, happiness, and other emotions. This is emotional conscious activity. This emotional conscious activity will then develop into rational conscious activity, as the zoologist may begin to consider things more abstractly, attempting to interpret and understand this experience through reason and rational reflection, asking such questions as, where does this bird nest? What does it feed on? Is this a new discovery? And so on. Such abstractions are not the end point of a cognitive cycle, because consciousness must then continue to develop through practice. It is through practice that perception tests and proves its own correctness so that it can then continue on to repeat the cycle. This is also the general rule of the human perception of objective reality. Annotation 226. Thus, there is a dialectical relationship between emotional consciousness, linked to practical activity, and rational consciousness, linked to purely conscious activity. This dialectical relationship is a cycle, in which one engages in practical activity, which leads to emotional consciousness, which leads to rational consciousness, which then leads back to practical activity to test the correctness of the conclusions of rational conscious activity. We call this cycle of development of consciousness the cognitive process. Figure 1. Cognitive process cycle. The cognitive process is a continuous cycle which describes the dialectical development of consciousness and practical activity. The cognitive process is explained in more detail below. Development from emotional consciousness to rational consciousness. Emotional consciousness is the lower stage of the cognitive process. In this stage of cognitive development, humans use, through practical activity, use our senses to reflect objective things and phenomena, with all their perceived specific characteristics and rich manifestations, in human consciousness. During this period, consciousness only reflects the phenomena, i.e. phenomena as opposed to essence, see essence and phenomenon, the external manifestations of the perceived subject. At this stage, consciousness has not yet reflected the essence, the nature, and or the regulating principles of the subject. Therefore, this is the lowest stage of development of the cognitive process. In this stage, consciousness is carried out through three basic phases: sensation, conception, and symbolization. Human sensation of an objective thing or phenomenon is the simplest, most primitive phase of the emotional consciousness stage of the cognitive processes, but without it there would not be any perception of objective things or phenomena. Every human sensation of objective things and phenomena contains objective content, see content and form, even though it arises as subjective human conscious reflection. Sensation is the subjective imagining of the objective world. It is the basis from which the next phase of emotional consciousness, conception, is formed. Conception is a relatively complete reflection within human consciousness of objective things and phenomena. Conception is formed on the basis of linking and synthesizing sensational experiences of things and phenomena, i.e. sensation. Compared with sensation, conception is a higher, fuller, richer form of consciousness, but it is still a reflection of the outward manifestations of objects. Conception does not yet reflect the essence, nature, and regulating principles of the perceived subject. Symbolization is the representation of an objective thing or phenomenon that has been reflected by sensation and conception. It is the most advanced and most complex phase of the stage of emotional consciousness. At the same time, it also serves as the transitional step between emotional consciousness and rational consciousness. The defining characteristic of symbolism is the ability to reproduce symbolic ideas of objective things and phenomena within human consciousness. Symbolization describes the act of recreating the outward appearances of material things and phenomena within human consciousness, which is the first step of abstraction, and thus the first step towards rational consciousness. Annotation 227. Here is an example of the three phases of the emotional consciousness stage of the cognitive process. Figure 2. Emotional consciousness stage of the cognitive process. 1. Sensation. 2. Conception. 3. Symbolization. 1. Sensation. Jessica senses a cake in the window of a bakery. She sees the frosting, the shape of the cake, and the decorations which adorn the cake. She smells the cake. During this phase, objective data about the cake is received into her consciousness, developing into an immediate and subjective sense perception of the cake. The beginnings of this cognitive activity will be purely sensory in nature. She may have been thinking of other things as she walked by the bakery, but the sight and smell of the cake, upon registering in her mind, will lead to the beginning of a new cognitive process cycle. 2. Conception. Jessica begins to conceive of the cake in her mind more fully. She will associate the immediate sense experiences of seeing and smelling the cake with other experiences she has had with cake, and a complete mental image and concept of the cake will form in her mind. 3. Symbolization. The word cake may now form in her mind, and she may begin thinking of the cake more abstractly, as food, as a temptation, and in other ways. This is the beginning of abstraction in Jessica's mind, which will then lead to rational conscious activities. Note that all of these phases of emotional consciousness activity may take place very quickly, perhaps in a fraction of a second, and may coincide with other conscious activity, i.e. Jessica may simultaneously be thinking of a meeting she's running late to, and any number of other things. At this point, Jessica will transition to the rational consciousness stage of the cognitive process, which is explained in more detail below. By the end of the emotional stage of the cognitive process, consciousness has not yet reflected the essence, the nature, regulating principles, etc., of the perceived subject. Therefore, at the emotional stage, consciousness is not yet able to properly interpret the reflected subject. That is to say, emotional conscious activity does not meet the cognitive requirements to serve practical activities, including the need to creatively transform the objective world. To meet these requirements, emotional consciousness must develop into rational consciousness. Rational consciousness is the higher stage of the cognitive process. It includes the indirect, abstract, and generalized reflection of the essential properties and characteristics of things and phenomena. This stage of consciousness performs the most important function of comprehending and interpreting the essence of the perceived subject. Rational consciousness is implemented through 3 basic phases: definition, judgment, and reasoning. Definition is the first phase of rational consciousness. During this phase, the mind begins to interpret, organize, and process the basic properties of things and phenomena at a rational level into a conceptual whole. The formation of definition is the result of the summarization and synthesis of all the different characteristics and properties of the subject, and how the subject fits into the organized structure of knowledge which exists in the mind. Definition is the process for forming judgments in the cognitive process. Judgment is the next phase of rational consciousness, which arises from the definition of the subject, the linking of concepts and properties together, which leads to affirmative or negative ideation of certain characteristics or attributes of the perceived subject. According to the level of development of consciousness, judgment may take one of 3 forms: unique judgment, general judgment, and universal judgment. See annotation 105. Universal judgment is the form of judgment that expresses the broadest conception of objective reality. Reasoning is the final phase of rational consciousness, formed on the basis of synthesizing judgments so as to extrapolate new knowledge about the perceived subject. Before reasoning can take place, judgments must be transformed into knowledge. A judgment can be transformed into knowledge through one of 2 logical mechanisms: deductive inference, which extrapolates the general from the specific, and inductive inference, which extrapolates the specific from the general. Annotation 228. Here is an example of the 3 phases of the rational consciousness stage of the cognitive process, continuing from our previous example of the emotional consciousness stage. See annotation 227. Figure 3. Rational consciousness stage of the cognitive process. 1. Definition. 2. Judgment. 3. Reasoning. 1. Definition. Jessica's conception of the cake will transition into the rational conscious activity of definition. Jessica will begin to define the concept of the cake more wholly and concretely, summarizing and synthesizing all of the features and characteristics of the cake into a cohesive mental reflection of the cake. The word cake may become more pronounced and defined in Jessica's consciousness, prompting her to think of the object which she defines as a cake more fully and rationally. 2. Judgment. Jessica will begin to form basic judgments about the cake. That cake looks good. That cake smells good. And so on. Next, these judgments will begin to transform into knowledge through inductive or deductive inferences. An inductive inference might be, I generally enjoy eating cakes, therefore I might enjoy eating this cake. An example of a deductive inference might be, this cake looks very delicious, therefore there might be other delicious things in this bakery. 3. Reasoning. Processes of inductive and/or deductive inference will begin to transform Jessica's judgment into the form of knowledge. For instance, she may now possess such knowledge as, this bakery has delicious looking cakes. This is a cake I would like to eat. And so on. With this newly acquired knowledge, Jessica can begin reasoning. That is to say, she can begin making rational conclusions and decisions. She might conclude, I will go into this bakery and buy that cake. Note that this is not the end of the cognitive process, because the final phase of the reasoning stage of the cognitive process, reasoning, will lead directly into a new cycle of the cognitive process. In this example, Jessica might engage in the practical activity of checking her watch to see the time, which will begin a new cycle of cognitive process, beginning with the sensation phase of the emotional stage as the visual sense data of her watch, and carrying through to the final reasoning phase of the rational stage, and so on. It should also be noted that this is merely an abstraction of the cognitive process. In reality, the human mind is incredibly complex, capable of carrying out a variety of cognitive processes simultaneously. At any given moment, a person might be considering various different subjects, and each different subject might be at a different stage of the cognitive process. This abstract model of the cognitive process is presented to help us comprehend the component functions of consciousness more easily in the wider context of a dialectical materialist philosophy. Specifically, this model of the cognitive process is intended to help us understand how human consciousness leads to truth, and truth here refers to the alignment of human consciousness with the material world, so that our perceptions and understanding of the world is accurate and representative of actual reality. The relationship between emotional consciousness, rational consciousness, and reality. Emotional consciousness and rational consciousness are stages that make up the cognitive cycle. In reality, they are often intertwined within the cognitive process, but they have different functions. If emotional consciousness is associated with reality, and with the impact of sense data received from observing the material world, and is the basis for cognitive reason, then rational consciousness, based on higher cognitive understanding and abstraction, allows us to understand the essence, nature, regulating principles, and development processes of things and phenomena. Rational consciousness helps direct emotional consciousness in a more efficient and effective direction and leads to more profound and accurate emotional consciousness. Annotation 229. In other words, considering a subject at the level of rational consciousness allows us to then view the same subject at an emotional consciousness level with more depth and awareness. For example, the more time we have spent rationally considering something like a bicycle, the more quickly and accurately we can examine a bicycle at the level of emotional consciousness. If someone is looking at a bicycle for the first time, they might not be able to distinguish its component parts or functions. On the other hand, if someone has spent more time considering bicycles at the level of rational consciousness, they may be able to immediately and rapidly understand and process a bicycle at the emotional consciousness level so that they can perceive and comprehend the different parts of a bicycle, as well as their functions, immediately and at the emotional sensory level. However, if we stop at rational consciousness, we will only have knowledge about the subjects we perceive, but we still won't really know if that knowledge is truly accurate or not. In order to be useful in practical activity, we must consciously determine which knowledge is truth, i.e. whether the knowledge accurately reflects reality. In order to determine the truth of knowledge, consciousness must necessarily return to reality. Consciousness must use reality as a criterion, a measurement of the authenticity of knowledge gained through purely cognitive processes. In other words, all consciousness is ultimately derived from practical needs and must also return to serve practical activities. Annotation 230. Figure 4. Mutual development. The dialectical relationship between consciousness and practical activities means that conscious activities develop practical activities and vice versa in a continuous feedback loop. One of the fundamental principles of dialectical materialism is that the material determines the ideal and the ideal impacts the material. See the relationship between matter and consciousness. The fact that the material determines consciousness is reflected in the fact that material needs led to the development of consciousness, and conscious activity stems from material needs. See social sources of consciousness. The fact that the ideal impacts the material is reflected in the fact that consciousness must always return to the service of practical activities as our consciousness develops along with knowledge. Our ability to impact and transform the material world becomes more efficient and effective. Figure 5. The dialectical relationship between consciousness and practical activity is what drives the development of humanity. We imagine better ways of doing things, then test those ideas against reality through practical activity. This dialectical relationship between consciousness and practical activity is thus cyclical. Conscious activity arises from practical activity and returns to practical activity in an endless process of developing both conscious ability as well as practical ability. Therefore, it can be seen that the general cyclical nature of the process of movement and development of consciousness develops from practice to consciousness, from consciousness to practice, from practical activity to the continued process of cognitive development, and so on. This process is repeated continuously, without end. The development level of consciousness and practice in the next cycle are often higher than in the previous cycle, and the cognitive process gradually develops more and more accuracy, as well as fuller and deeper knowledge about objective reality. The universal law of consciousness, see annotation 224, is also a concrete and vivid manifestation of the universal laws of materialist dialectics, including the law of negation of negation, the law of transformation between quantity and quality, and the law of unity and contradiction between opposites. The process of cognitive motion and development, governed by these general laws, is the process of human progress towards absolute truth. See annotation 232. Annotation 231. The universal law of consciousness is governed by the three universal laws of materialist dialectics. The law of negation of negation dictates that the new will arise from the old, but will carry forward characteristics from the old. This is reflected in the universal law of consciousness in that conscious activity arises from practical activity. This conscious activity then develops into improved practical activity, and so on, in a never-ending cycle of development. Throughout this development process, characteristics of previous cycles of cognitive and practical activities are carried forward and transferred on to newer cycles of cognitive and practical activities. The law of transformation between quantity and quality recognizes that quantity changes develop into changes in quality, and vice versa. This is reflected in the universal law of consciousness in the development of both conscious and practical activities. Conscious development also develops from quantitative changes to quality changes, and vice versa. For example, once a person accumulates a certain quantity of knowledge, the quality of their knowledge will change. For example, once a person has learned the function of every component part of a car engine, they will have a quality shift in their understanding of car engines. They will now have competency of the functioning of the engine as a whole. This is also true of practical activities. A quantity of practical experience will lead to quality shifts in practical ability. For example, once a person has practiced riding a bicycle enough that they can reliably ride the bicycle without falling, we would say that the person knows how to ride a bicycle, which represents a quality shift from the state of learning how to ride a bicycle. The law of unity and contradiction between opposites states that all things, phenomena, and ideas are defined by internal and external contradictions. This is reflected in the universal law of consciousness by the fact that practical needs serve as the basis for conscious activity, and that cognitive processes serve in essence, to negate contradictions between consciousness and material reality through practical experience. In other words, the cognitive process is defined by a never-ending process of contradiction between the material and the ideal, as human beings seek to negate contradictions between our conscious understanding of the world and our practical experiences in search of truth, the accurate alignment of consciousness with the material world. And that is going to do it for this week. I believe we have exactly one more episode to wrap up the last half of this last section inside of this last chapter. After which, I don't know for sure what I will be doing next, but I have recommendations people have sent me in the past. I'll probably pick something that's a little bit shorter and denser in that it bears going over and figuring out as I'm reading it. In a way that this book has been full of information, but in a roundabout way, has such clarity in how in-depth it explains exactly what's being said at every moment that the long-form slow read of it almost is less necessary compared to some other books I've read. It's been a little bit hard to drill down into as I'm going, and it has helped that I have to read them out loud for a podcast like this. But with that said, if you have any corrections, suggestions, or anything like that, you can email leftistreading@gmail.com or contact the show on Twitter @leftistreading. Our intro and outro music is Decisions by Eric Medias. You can find it and more of his work on soundimage.org. This show is hosted on the Abnormal Mapping podcast. You can go to abnormalmapping.com to find this and lots of other leftist podcasts. You can also support the network at patreon.com/abnormalmapping to find all sorts of bonus shows, including the Great Gundam Project, which the week I'm posting this is about to start covering Gundam Unicorn, which is an entry point for a lot of people, I've heard, unlike me, who fully only started watching Gundam along with that show. And I definitely recommend it. They watched a lot of Gundam. They have a lot of smart thoughts about it. That is all for this week, though. Thank you for listening, and keep reading.